It's my pleasure to introduce speaker for tonight. My man, come on up, Robert. Let's do this, baby.
That's a rough crowd, man. My name is Robert, and I am an alcoholic. But for the grace of a loving God, I got another day sober. I want to thank everybody that came out to support me in this recovery. I got my beautiful daughter, my sister, my brothers. It's like people that, you know, I love this, great nieces and nephew. I can't believe this, man. And it's all because of this program, you know, and ...24 years later, man, I'm still doing this. I got my northern family that came down, you know, Craig and his posse, Dallas and them from Mira Mesa. This is some awesome stuff, man, and it's like it's always a pleasure to be of service in Alcoholics Anonymous. For this program, I'm totally grateful, and I don't see you run around here saying, my name is Robert, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. As my sponsor told me, that I am one of them alcoholics that I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I didn't come up with that, that came out the book. I want to let her, this is my book, it's a raggedy one, but I love it, and I use it. Before I can go any further, you know, I got to do this because if I get up here and start talking, it's going to be about me, but I want to move myself out the way and let God intervene and do for me what I can't do for myself. There I humbly offer myself to God as I then understood him to do with me as he would. I place myself unreservedly under his care and directions. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch. I have not had a drink in over 8,761 days consecutive, one day at a time. This is, it was over 23,000 days celebrated in here. Ms. Joyce said it was 70 years. You know, if you had the judge to give you 23,000 days, 726, you'll be counting a lot of damn calendars. So I don't count my days, I make my days count. And that's what I've been doing for this last 24 years. I come in here because this is what the book of Alcoholics Anonymous told me. It says our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what would happen, and what we're like now. If that fly over your head, all I said is I came out to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I'm going to give you a little example of how come I qualified as an alcoholic. I don't want to be too deep in the disease because that ain't where it's at for me, man. But I took a drink. It wasn't a cloud in the horizon. And I had this great thought. And I took that drink, and I took another drink. Next thing you know, I was on a mission for 26 years. Woo, that was a long-ass time. That's about as far as you can get with a drunker log of mines, you know. You want to know another one? I like to hit poles that don't move, man. I don't know how it happened, but when you drink like I do, seems like that pole always jump out of nowhere, man. Where'd that pole come from? But that's the sickness and my disease that I suffer from. You know, I don't ever want to forget where I came from. So I always do that, man. I have a beautiful relationship with a lot of people. In the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, and I don't throw page numbers around. I identify with the book. I didn't dissect the book. I know what's in the book, and I don't try to come up here and be a book thumper. But I know some shit. Oh, if you got sensitive ears, don't worry about it. Sometimes I do use profanity, but I do speak English good. And I do speak the language of the heart. So if I say fuck it one time, don't get mad. Just put it on your four-step and tell it to your sponsor. Because if I would have came in here and acted like I was sanctified, and I'm up in a spiritual program. This is a spiritual program. And I've been rocketed into a fourth dimension I didn't even know about. But everybody come in here and they acting like they get all the like this, man, get a little time. This ain't all about that. See, because this is about a disease that had us all whooped. I don't care if you come from Yale or hell. You come from Park Avenue or Park Bench. This disease don't care who you is. This disease is out to kill us. See, I'm a living legend in my own head. I'm a real gangster. See, but I'm so cold about my disease, I wouldn't hurt the person that hurted me the most, me. You couldn't do half of the stuff that I done to myself and live through it. Because I want to kill you. And see, all I have to do, see, I'm that type of alcoholic man, and I get the resentment at you. I didn't even know what a resentment was. I just knew you pissed me off today. I'm going to go have a drink. You better not be here when I get back. No, I ain't the best fighter in the world, but give me a couple of drinks, man. I don't care who it is. See, I drink that good stuff. Old English 800. Mad Dog 2020. Bacardi 151. I don't want nothing that's cheap, man. I want that cheap liquor that's going to get me to that fourth dimension that I thought I was in. I never walked around this town with a bag on my liquor. I was this type of person that soon as I got that bottle out the store, I ripped the bag off because I want everybody to know I'm trying to get up out of reality. Because I didn't like me. And if I didn't like me, I really didn't like you. So you get that right, man. I didn't come in here because I thought I had this problem. I didn't know nothing about Alcoholics Anonymous. This program been around 89 years. I'm scratching the surface with just 24. I spent 26 years in a disease world that I didn't even know was a disease. When I came into this program and they said, you got a disease, Robert. Oh, no, brother, ain't got no disease. I went and got checked. But I am so glad that somebody identified and told me that it was a disease. I didn't know I was allergic to alcohol. Man, I just drank too much this night, man. I'll get it right next time. I made a lot of resolutions in my days. I never was firm on my decision-making, though. God gave me the freedom of choice, and I never learned how to use it. When it comes to drinking, they talk about me, man, in the book, man. They got this story in there, man, and they talking about it more about alcoholism. That's the only thing you don't know about it. But this peculiar mental twist sit in my head, man, and my brain starts saying shit like, did you hear what they said? Who? See, I hear voices. I got a bunch of little midgets in my head. They real gangsters. And they say some profound stuff, man, and I be thinking that something is wrong with you. And they don't know all the time it's up in my head. That spiritual warfare that I was in, it wasn't with you guys. It was here. Between my ears, man, is my worst critic. I didn't know that. But when I got into Alcoholics Anonymous, man, I didn't arrive here on a winning streak, man. I was beat the hell up. And when you say you sick and tired of being sick and tired, we don't throw up the white flag no more, man. That's some bull. White flag, who surrendered like that? Police had to tackle me, try to choke the hell out of my ass. Man, you ain't going down like that, man. Okay, I give up, man. They hog-tied me. I don't want to live like that no more. I ain't had to be hog-tied in over 24 years. I cannot believe it, man. You know, one of my boys said it like this. I used to think the police had a problem with me. I thought they was racist. I thought they hated me because I was black. Well, 24 years later, I'm sober and I'm still black. What the hell is wrong with that picture? I ain't been arrested in 24 years. That's a big deal for me. If you don't find that fascinating, try doing it. I ain't had to go back to them asylums. I came in here. I was going into asylums, in and out, revolving doors. Didn't know what the hell was going on. I didn't know I was spiritually sick, man. I had a praying mama and a normal father. He was normal in every spec, except for when he took a drink. I inherited that disease. All my brothers and sisters didn't catch that disease like I did. I have so many things I could tell you about my disease, how it had me whooped for 26 years. But it wouldn't be worth me standing up here glamorizing and giving that much power to something that I didn't even have no control over. See, in this book right here, I don't know how to explain it better than anybody, but Bill Neal said it better than anybody. He said, no words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. They said, alcohol became my master. Hold the fuck up. What the brother doing saying master now? To some alcohol? That's how gangster that disease is. That disease drug me around this town. Like a Tasmanian devil I was, that disease had me. And I was a slave to that disease. I wouldn't stop for nothing. I have a beautiful family. I had a lovely mama. My mom prayed for years for me and my brothers. Ruined her knees, she was down on her knees praying so hard. But that was a gangster of a woman because I'm a product of Missouri. Well, I've been here 54 years. I've been raised in this so-called 619 area, and this is where I grew up, 54 years. 18 of them years was in and out of them asylums, man. See, when I realized that I was real sick, and I knew that about this spiritual disease or this spiritual warfare I was in, I share this with you, and then I'm going to go on somewhere else. I smoked some stuff one day. It was some good stuff. It had me walking on moon like I was somebody, man. I threw out. I was a giant. And the police came and arrested me. They hogtied me and took me out to that asylum out there in University on Hillcrest. And I woke up that morning. And I was strapped in the bed, man. I ain't never seen leather straps like this. They had me down, man, for the count. I got scared. Gangster got scared. I didn't know what to do. I'm looking around. It's an empty room with a bed in the middle of the floor. I'm like, who in the hell got me? They got me, man. I'm gone. I never see my family again. Oh, God, please get me out of this one. And I prayed like a mug. And I seen that peephole, little old peephole like this. They opened it and looked in. Oh, God, please, thank you. Somebody help me. Get me up out of here. Gangster crime. I'm scared. I wasn't ready to die. I said I was suicidal, but I was too afraid to kill me. So I pick a resentment and I fight with you to try to hurt me. So I wanted to die because I didn't like me. And these people opened that door and allowed me to come out. And I walked out there, man, and I'm looking around, Chris. These people is crazy. I know I ain't that damn crazy. I mean, they picking their nose, digging in their ass and shit. I'm like, oh, no, this is not for me, man. I'd have been in some dangerous places, but that was sick. And I got scared. And they tried to give me some, I don't know what kind of medicine they was giving, Thorazine or something. Oh, brother man don't take nothing he didn't ask for. See, I'm that type of dope fiend and that alcoholic. I go and get what I want. I don't like nobody giving me nothing. I go to that illegal place and get it. If it was a bootlegger, I would have had the best liquor, man, because I'd like that shit too, Pruno. But in the penitentiary, I was scared to drink it because they could give me more time. I don't need no more time. I tried to smoke some sherm up in there, man, and I got scared. Never did it again because I couldn't move. I couldn't knock that steel door down. That's when I knew I was powerless. See, I found out as a result of this disease that I suffered from, it hurt me more than anybody ever hurted me. I watched tears in my mama's eyes before she passed away. I lost my mom 20 years ago. See, I'm a gangster with this real mentality that I didn't want nothing to ever happen to that queen. And I would have hurt anybody. Me and my brothers didn't hurt. All she had to do is snap her hand like that. We gone. That was our queen. But it was the hardest thing when I seen my mom laying in hospice. And I couldn't save my mama. That killed me. October the 2nd, I was at a men's breakfast. Paul introduced me to that and started dragging me around town. I was 4 years sober. And I went into that hospice, and I seen my mom laying there lifeless but breathing. Body didn't move. I know she heard me. And I used to carry a bunch of books like I still do. I get hurt, man, because I had so many spiritual tools. I invested into this program like I invested in my disease. And my sponsees will tell you, they be trying to get slick with me and want to pull something up on the phone. No, no, no. You bought liquor stores. Why you can't buy a book? That's some old cheap stuff. But you will come in here and you will hoard on to all of these gifts and you will act like you all of that. Big ass cheeseburger, double, triple, decker cheeseburger, frappuccino, double espresso with two extra shots, pack of Bamos and shit, man. Eat all of this in a bag of chips, man. Bassett come around, ain't got a book to put in it. Cheap. That old timer told me, man, he said, this is a life-saving soul station. If you arrived here and you like what we doing here, then do what we do. I didn't come in here playing games, man. I was scared. And I was going out there to East County. And before I even made it into this asylum, a doctor looked at me. And he said, this is a real sick one. I'm up in the hospital. I'm cursing everybody out. Somebody finally domed me in the head with a foreign object. Knocked some sense in my head. The blood run out. I grabbed the dude. I picked him up. I said, I'm going to kill this nigga. It's a white boy. My best friend, retired old man, best dude I knew, drank better than me, drank me under the table. He drank Boilermakers like I like to drink. I don't drink Kool-Aid and 7-Up and Coca-Cola and drinks. I Boilermake that shit. I said I like 151. Bacardi. We used to use it to torch stuff. And then I got up in here, and that doctor looked at me, and he said, Robert, do you want some help? I'm like, what did you just say? I'm looking at him like, because I'm cursing everybody out. I said, I'm a black man in America. I got three languages. I speak English well, the language of the heart, and I do use profanity. And I cursed everybody out. I had a wife in that room. And I cursed her out. And I watched her walk up out of there. Tail tucked, head down, humiliated because of me. And I feel humiliated because the way I talked to that woman that gave me the best of everything. And she was there when that doctor got me some help. He said, you want some help? I said, hell yeah, I've been trying to get help for the longest. He told me he'll make a call. Now, this place we called on 1111 Island. Detox. Stinkiest place I've ever met. Mattress, man, or you lay on the floor on a green mat. Piss, vomit all over it. Oh, no, Brother King, they be up in here, man. So I used to go to that place, that asylum, and they had dropped me off. The police thought that was the next option for me. They was trying to help me before I got here. But I'm such a living legend in my own head. I'm telling them, if you walk out that door, I'm going right behind you. If you leave out this door, Mr. Stocking, we don't arrest you. Well, then you should have arrested me when you got me. Because you can't just put me in no place and tell me to lay down. I'm not tired. I still got some drinking to do. So this man, he left, and I got into that detox that I was fighting with for 20 years. And when I got there, I was scared. That wife was outside with our van. And I walked out there and I climbed in the van. I couldn't even look at her no more. That's how bad it was. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I just wanted some help. And when I got in that car, I couldn't say nothing else to her. I didn't know what I was walking into. But I know she was taking me to detox. And I was so tired of the lifestyle that I was living that I was willing to go to anything. But then when we pulled up in that parking lot and I had that flashback. Man, the police used to always bring me here. Damn, I got to go in here. And I rolled out that car. And I looked back and I looked at that door and I walked in there, scared. Didn't know what I was walking into. But they gave me that little number two pencil. Y'all don't know about that. They break it in half and then sharpen it where they, you know, that's the ones we got. Well, you couldn't do nothing, no damage with that, man. And we had to write with that. And they gave me a little tablet. And they used to have an H&I panel come in there and talk to the drunks. And I used to sit there, man, I was so scared. I didn't know what to do with myself. So I write down anything they put on the board because I want to know why I keep going to these type of places. I didn't know I had a problem. But I'm writing this information down and I'm learning some stuff, man. And I'm so cool and I'm so through, man. But I was beat up. Took me 90 days for me to straighten out. I didn't know, man. I was so delusional, man. I was so in illusion, man. My head was so screwed up. I drank so much that I couldn't sober up just that fast. But I heard the message. And I listened to them guys that came in there. And I wrote down everything they were saying because I wanted to know what they knew. I wanted to know what y'all can tell me about this thing they call alcoholics. I ain't that bright person like some people in here. I ain't never woke up one morning and looked at the white pages and said, I think I'm gonna call Alcoholics Anonymous. That's some bullshit. What kind of drunk is that gonna wake up and call alcohol? Me, my insane start, I'd be like, man, do y'all deliver? Because that's the only thing you can do for me. I wasn't ready for this help. But once I made that psyche change and I changed my thought process, that mental capacity, man, started straightening it up. And I sat in there. And they didn't want me to go in. It was like a 10-day program. I had to stay damn near 25 days, man. I'm like, damn, man, why everybody else leaving and I got to stay here? I'm wondering now, is something really wrong with the brother? So I'm sitting here, and I'm scared. But I'm willing to do whatever, man. And then they just... One day they came up with this idea that they was going to ship me over to the next phase. I'm like, whew. So I get into this place, man, and I'm sitting here. And I'm doing whatever they say. And it was like a big old circus up in here. Because they had these curtains. And they have us to come and sit at some desk in the 10-day. And they'll open it up, and there'd be about 300 people in that room. And I'm looking out there, we're like, what the hell? We like in the zoo and shit, and everybody looking over there at newcomers. And I'm like, man, they sure is humiliating me, man. And I took it, and I sat there, and I did whatever they suggested. And then they suggested that I needed some more help. See, I followed directions. Like I told you, George, I followed them directions that they was giving out. If they suggested something, I was willing as the dying could be to go do it. So I got in there and I started doing some work in there. That day came when I got a chance to come up out of there. What did they do? Somebody messed around and I had a beautiful necklace like this. This is my sobriety necklace. I got this in 2000, June of 2000, because I was about to throw away 2 weeks of hard work. And they was like, took my necklace. And I said, you guys know who you stealing from? I'm a jack of all trade. I'll kill you up in here. Somebody better give my necklace. And I couldn't even think, man. I was going out that window again. I was in full flight again from reality. You know when the doctor said that? He looked at me and said, you know what, Ben? You're an outright mental defector in full flight from reality. I'm looking at like, who in the hell you think you're talking to like that? Somebody said something to this brain of mine and shut it up. And I knew I was in the right place because ain't nobody ever talked to me like that. And I needed that. So that wife that took me there, she said, you about to throw away almost 30 days of sobriety for a damn necklace. Hell yeah. You don't know what they did. That's humiliating stealing from me. What did I do? She shut them brain down again and said, if it mean that much to you, I'll get you another one. I said, that's why you didn't say that from the get-go. I tucked that sucker in, man. And I went on, and I started going to meetings out in Lemon Grove. And my wife and them, man, and they'd go to work, and I had to go to work. I gave my job up because when they suggested that I do something, see, I ain't like most people. I had the house, I had the car, I had the wife, the family. But they suggested that I needed to get rid of that shit, man. And I let that shit go. All my cars, my wife, my family. I just wanted to get out of this diseased world. And I followed their directions. And they ended up letting me go. And I started going to meetings out there in Lemon Grove. And I used to go out there scared. And all them dudes in there had time. And they'd be sitting in that room. And I'd get that paper signed. And I was doing like 4 meetings a day. They say 90 and 90. I already done killed that man by a long shot. Because I was scared. I couldn't stay at home by myself because I did a lot of damage in that house, man. I hid a lot of liquor. I'm that real alcoholic that hide liquor from myself. And I realized that I was not alone, man. And then all of a sudden, this day came when I called the ranch and they said, "We got a bed for you." I dropped the phone and screamed at my wife, "Stop everything. We got to go." She's like, "Whoa, calm down, boy." I'm like, "No, we got to go. They're giving me a certain amount of time to get up there." And we got on the freeway. And then we started driving up to Campo, and my head started talking again. "Oh, man, that's a long ways up here, man. I don't know if I want to do that." By the time when I realized that we was pulling up in there, I had to go on through with it, man, and I went through with it. And I did my 4 months on Hard Rocks, man. It's like a damn shame, man, a brother man up in Campo, California, the city boy. What the hell a brother doing up in Campo? I ain't from Campo. But I did whatever they suggested, and I wanted this. And then I got to finish with that place up there, Freedom Ranch. And they suggested that, "Man, Robert, you need some more recovery." "Okay. So what do you think I should do?" "Go into sober living." "No kidding." So a dude, Patrick Barney, he had a sober living. He got rich off of this sober industry, man, and he made a lot of money. And that dude accepted me in a house on Massachusetts and Central. And I stayed in that house. Good intentions. I'm going to do 6 months in this sober living and learn how to drink like a real G. See, I had a great idea. But that wasn't God's plan. So I sat in this house, and I ended up being in there 2 years. I forgot I had a home. I was complacent, man, in that little bed I was living. I finally was doing stuff, man, that I didn't even know I could do, man. You're talking about a Captain Save-A-Hole, man? I could save the world. I did this now. I got it. And I was 2 years sober when they looked at me and said, "Rob, you got to go home." "Man, I don't want to go." But I left that place and I went back home. And I was in my house one day and I dropped my cell phone or a pager. I think we still had pagers. And it fell behind the bed on the headboard. And I got on the floor and started digging under the bed to get the pager, and my hand bruised on something and it was cold. And I jumped. I almost had a heart attack. It was a beer bottle. Oh, I thought I got loaded that day. I was scared, man. And I called my wife and told her, "You got to get whatever's under that bed." This big old gangster like myself, scared of a bottle. That's when you know you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I didn't want to do this no more. So I did what I needed to do. But in that process, while I was in that ranch, I met a brother named Phil. Phil Truman. This dude was the coolest white dude I ever met. Drank Bud Light like I did in the end. And Phil told his story. And I looked at Phil and I claimed him as my sponsor. I didn't go up to him and say, "Hey, man, I like what you had to say. Will you be my sponsor?" I looked at him by osmosis. That's my sponsor. And the word got out because Coma, white boy, this is a white dude named Coma. You know that's a hell of a name, Coma. What kind of name is that for a man? Coma. That's insane. Coma had the same sponsor. So he started running around the yard telling everybody, "Man, my sponsor coming up. My sponsor coming up too," I'm saying. So this little old white dude come up, and Phil come up there and found out that I was telling everybody in the ranch that I was his sponsee. And Phil walks up in the loan room. We got a loan room. And Phil walks up in there and walk up on me and say, "What's this out here you telling everybody I'm your sponsor? You ain't asked me nothing. God dang, why you so mad, man? Will you be my sponsor?" I never had nobody talk to me like that. And Phil took me through my first set of steps. And that's when I knew this was real, man. See, because in that first step, man, you got to admit something. And that's the only time that you don't have to admit that you're powerless over a disease that had you whooped. That's alcohol. You can change the word whatever you want. But I don't understand why sponsors is letting this thing be watered down and diluted with these sponsors coming in here in an AA meeting talking about I'm an addict. Learn to respect the traditions and you can respect your recovery. So my guys know that I like for them to be on tune. Whatever meeting you in, get focused and start looking on the table and see what kind of meeting you at so you can hear the message. Because once I admit it and I was defeated, the second part of that step, that my life had become unmanageable. I didn't know that. But I had to get involved in here, and I wanted what these guys had, so I did whatever he suggested. And then the second step, I came to believe. See, because I had to come to believe in something more powerful than me that can restore me back to sanity. See, I'm insane, man. But in the 12 and 12, you go in there and you look in the book and you take the steps out of the books the way it's supposed to be taken, you will find out the definition of sanity. It's a peace of mind, soundness of mind, man. I never had that. I've been indecisive in all my ways, man. I wavered in every thought that I ever had. And see, I had to do what it was suggested. It ain't no chapter in the big book talking about into thinking. It's in the action. You got to get into action. And I made a decision, and I turned my will and my life over. That was my third step. See, but I didn't know that I had to do all of this work and get rigorously honest with this step work. See, I didn't know about there's a principle, a bar against all information that can keep a man in everlasting ignorance. They say that was contempt prior to investigation. If you never open up the book, you'll never know what we're talking about. I can go from the beginning to the end. It's also, they always watering this down, diluting the message. Everybody say, "Oh, I'll read the first 164 pages. Well, I have to make my sponsees know that we want to read the first 192 because I want to know about the Third Amendment and the Dr. Nightmare. And then there's 40 other stories in the back of that book. But then they got another book that's called The Experience, Strength, and Hope. And if you don't know nothing about this literature, I'll tell you about it because I did a lot of service at AA Central answering phones. I did a lot of service. Somebody said, "This is what I do, man. Charles told y'all, I'm busy in here." See, when I made that decision to turn my will over, I haven't made a decision to take it back in over 24 years. The next three principles that I had to understand is that the traditions, you can't forget about the traditions. Our common welfare should come first. That's being honest with this. This group right here, I'm a part of this culture. Like one of my big brothers brought a message to the newcomer and said, "This is a new culture. This ain't just my brothers. This is all of us. Because we're a group of people that would not mix." That's what they told us in this book. But today I'm in this room. And there ain't nobody in here in charge. These are servants. That's all I've been for these last 20-something years, a servant in this room. Only person that's in charge of here is a loving God as he may express himself. I don't have to look at that stuff up there on the wall on these scrolls, man. If you internalize these principles, you can walk through this and do whatever you have to do. They said the only requirement for this membership is a desire to stop drinking. See, but I had to have that one little word that they took out. I had to have an honest desire because I made a lot of resolutions in them years out there drinking and drugging. I don't want to ever forget where I came from. And see, when I jumped in that and I went down to the bottom of that page after I did that third step, they said next we launch out on a course of vigorous action when you don't get into action. Not into thinking, into action. And I did that. And I start writing all these dark secrets down. And I would start pulling stuff out of the closet because I didn't want to live like I did. I didn't want to come back to this society the way I left here. I didn't want to come back into these rooms with that broken brain, the one that I came in here with. See, because you can't engrave nothing on a broken brain person. Somebody that don't want to feel nothing what we saying, that's closed-minded, unwilling to change. I've been willing as the dying could be, and that's the how of this program. It's only one place you don't find it in this right perspective, the who of it. Willingness is the key to this, and that's what I've been doing, willing. I got rigorously honest, and I did that fourth step. And then I got with that man, and I did that fifth, man, and I start telling them dark secrets. See, but each group should be autonomous, man. I don't know nothing. I just know what I'm supposed to be doing. And then they said, each one of us have a primary purpose. That is to carry the message to the alcoholic that's still suffering. Why you sitting in here hoarding on to this gear? Why somebody got to pull your teeth to do service? Why people got to beg you to do something? If I had a big bottle of liquor and a sack of dope, you'd do whatever I say because I would make you do that. But we can't make nobody do nothing in here. We can only suggest, man. And if you want what we got, you'll do what we do. And see, that man told me to go home after I told him all my dark secrets. And I sat still for a couple of hours. And I went and I reviewed them first five proposals that I did. And I realized that I did that. And I was no longer a secret. So we all miracles up in here. And if you know what the definition of a miracle is, it's only merely stepping out of darkness into the light. Why you still darkened? Why you still running around here hiding? You still got all that hatred and shit in your heart, man. If I didn't have this sponsor that looked at my step work and seen that I put on there, hell yeah, I hated white people. He said, man, if you didn't say you wasn't racist, man, I would have said you lying. He threw that paper down and said, man, this is about the thoroughest fourth step I've ever seen. I said, damn, man, all I had to do is be rigorously honest like that because I didn't want to carry this luggage no more. I got a host of friends of all nationalities, man. I deal with more people than a little bit. I do a lot of service in these rooms. When I said the seventh tradition told us that we needed to learn something, man, give back what was so freely given to you. Why are you hoarding on to that money, man? Put that money in the basket. Keep these rooms open. It's meetings out here failing. Closing down cause nobody. I don't want my great nieces and nephews. I don't want my family not to have a life-saving soul station here when they fall prey to this disease. So I stay on the front line, and I'm in here in these ditches, man, and I'm checking shit because I ain't scared no more. See, but I did all of this work, and then I knew when I made that list up, I had to go out and make some amends, man. I ain't never told nobody sorry. I always said I was sorry. Yeah, give me a drink. I'm sorry as a motherfucker. Because that's how I am, man. But when I got to that point and I made them amends and I apologized to some of the stuff that I done, man, you should have seen these relationships that grew back with me. And my mom got a chance to see her prodigal son get his life back. This dude right here shouldn't be here. But by the grace of a loving God and you people and some principles, I'm here by this program because what I done. I got a brother, man, that just did 27 years walking the yard. And his 27 years, I did 24 years on Planet Rock, man. And I've been working on myself, man. I don't hold no grudges towards nobody. I can't fix nothing that happened yesterday, but I can make the best relationship in my life right now today. I got friends, man, that love the fuck out of me, man. I give a lot of people hugs, man. People roll up on me, and I hate when I see people, like, shining them off like you don't hug. Well, would you rather me give you a hug or some drugs? I give you some hope or some dope. I like this thing here, man, that they call HOPE, H-O-P-E, the acronym says, hearing other people experience, Happy Hour program exists. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you don't get in here and do nothing, get a big book. The acronym for big book, B-I-G, B-O-O-K. Believing in God beats our own knowledge. When you don't find a God that you can do business with. Because left to my devices, my mental defense is nothing. I didn't know how to stop drinking. But my meat of defense must come from a power greater than myself, and I got that power. See, I was, part of my dilemma was lack of power. I got a lot of power today. I'm not afraid to speak out. I love y'all, man. All of you people came out to support a brother like me. There's so many people in this room, man. I don't know why, but I know that God want me to be here. I do his spot check inventory. I ain't got to say I'm sorry no more. I ain't got to run around here like a Tasmanian devil. I ain't the baddest person no more. I do what I need to do in these rooms, and I keep it real gangster. I said Charles been my sponsor for over 19 years, man. I've been running with this old dude. He took 54 years in January. I give this dude the props that nobody ever gave me, because this dude helped me do what I can do for myself, man, and he been my big brother. I don't tell these dudes in here, I'm your sponsor, you do this, do that. I lead by example, and they see what I do, and they want to do it. I go into treatment facilities. I give back. I work with newcomers. I have a host of little brothers around here that love the heck out of me. Look forward to me sitting around. I'm not no big old giant up in here. Don't put me on no pedestal like I'm all of that. I'm a servant just like everybody else supposed to be. And ain't no one individual supposed to be doing all this work. We all need to be doing it. Ain't no reason in the world why we should be sitting in a room and there's 200 people in the damn room and ain't nobody willing to do nothing, have these commitments, start meetings, go out and do stuff, go to treatment and help the newcomers, because somebody came back to the treatment I was in and helped me. When they shared their story, I get to go back up to that ranch where I've been going for 24 years, and I get to go back up there and talk to them newcomers. And they know how I am. I keep that shit gangster because I don't want nobody to ever forget that if you served a nice disease and he sat at the foot of your bed and waited for you to wake up and said, good morning, Robert, it's a beautiful day for a crackhead, you serving a damn idiot. So if you don't get in here and get busy doing what you need to do, you don't get picked off. I don't want to get picked off, so I stay in the middle of the hood, not on the outside. I got brothers and sisters in here that love me, man. I love all of y'all. I got my family, my biological family in here. This is amazing, man. You will never see this in real life, man, that we will come into a room where all these damn drunks and dope fiends, and we sitting around here laughing at Rob, listening to me. For $2, $5, anything I want to put in the basket, I just put something in there. And I didn't come in here for a cheeseburger. I'm going to share this, man, and I'm going to leave it like this, man, because it's some stuff that I learned around here. And I said the first prayer, and I say, if they told you, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely get themselves to this simple program. I don't memorize that shit. It's just hidden somewhere where nobody can steal it in my heart. Put your treasures up and start storing it up so when you open your mouth, you have something to say about recovery and not that bullshit. Because a lot of people come in here with that party line lip flapping bullshit, but they never tell me the truth. I don't need nobody to look at me like I'm bigger or better than you. I want you to just look at what I'm doing and lead by example and do some of the stuff so you can get the rewards that I'm talking about. I didn't get around here and say, oh, I'm just all of this. Or I don't do share because I don't have to share every meeting. If you call my name, I share. If I'm in the rooms, I don't have to volunteer all the time. But if you call Rob, I will get up because I got something to say. And I'm going to leave you like this. This is our prayer, man. This is powerful. This is St. Francis. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, and where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. I died and came back. I made a hell on this earth and I'm making it a heaven today. That's what they tell us in our Father's prayer. Why don't we do what he say do and quit trying to do what you want to do? Do what these old timers done did, man. The old timers done got relaxed and they act like they scared to tell you. I'll tell you in a second. The way they talk to me, gangster shit, pour the cotton out your ears, put it in your mouth, sit down and shut the fuck up. I love you guys, man. I can't tell you enough, man. You know, thank you guys for all that you do with me, man. Thank all of the people that support me in my walk. I love my family. Thank y'all for coming over and supporting me. I got my oldest daughter over there. This is some good shit. I got my people that came down with me from my job, man. I love doing recovery, and they wanted to come here to support me and roll down here in a van so we can come from Mira Mesa to come and break you off. If you didn't get nothing out of this, I got a lot because I've been spiritually awakened. And once the spiritual melody straightened out, you know what they said? Haven't had a spiritual awakening. As a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the alcoholic that's still suffering. If you ain't ready to do this work, then why are you sitting in here wasting good drunk time? Thanks.
Robert, thank you very much for that resounding reflection. That was awesome. Just for proving that it's really true, a good speaker ends on time, a great speaker ends early. This is a 24-year token for the Pioneer. One more time for my buddy Rob. Thank you to the Ladies Auxiliary and the Men of the House for a wonderful dinner tonight. Thank you for you guys that shared your birthdays with us. Happy birthday. Circle up.